This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a computer was stirring, not even a mouse. The speakers were placed around the chimney with care, in hopes that Aaron, Frank, and Nick would soon be heard there. David Oy was nestled all snug in his bed, while terrible EVPs looped in his head. And Mama Ortel in her kerchief and Troy in his cap, that was from the original poem, I don't know what that really means, sorry everyone, had both left Spotify playing and settled in for their naps. When outside David's room there arose such a clatter, he sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window he flew like a Skinwalker bone dart, tore open the window and gasped with a start. The moonlight at rest on the new-fallen snow cast an eerie white light on the hovering UFO. Then what else to his questioning eyes did appear but gnome folk, the Jersey Devil, and the Kinderhook creature, with floating orbs ringed around them so lively and quick. They came down from the saucer, ugh, would say Nick. More rapid than lightning, the orbs down they came, and the creature whistled and shouted and addressed our fans by name. Now David, now Deborah, now Sarah, now Maddie. Oh Fallon, oh Troy, thanks for listening, sincerely. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now lift away, lift away, lift away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the heavens the Foo Fighter did fly. With that, David's EMF meter peaked at a 5. And then in the twinkling, he found it was dawn. Alas, his memory of the last 4 hours was gone. As if in a trance, he stumbled inside, to find a stooped figure at his Christmas tree just beside. A man? A woman? Dare he think it's Saint Nick? Eyes wide in the dark, he realized with a click. It said, "You should be asleep if your presence tonight matter." But it wasn't Saint Nicholas, just a cow on a ladder. Now you might question this poem's objectives. But we all know, Aaron loves stories with different perspectives. Welcome to this Christmas-themed episode of Wednesday at 9 p.m.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. I hope you came up with that all on your own.
Yes, this actually was entirely me. I'm not even kidding.
No AI.
No AI. I was thinking, should I just throw an AI that, you know what? Christmas is about humanity and love and person to person. There's no room for ChatGPT there. So I did this during my work day. Probably should have been doing real work, but I think it came out good in the end.
Yeah, Frank's employers, if you're listening, he definitely did not do it during his work day.
I wonder if they do. Maybe
that's some of the listeners that we have. Who knows?
Potentially.
I will say, I believe the actual poem has like an anniversary this year.
Oh,
or something. Like obviously any year is an anniversary, but like a special one, like 100 or 200 or something.
Okay,
like
that might be because I have the date and there's something crazy about that poem, which I'll say when we start. But before that, some brief announcements before we get into tonight's content. Shout out to David Hoy, though I guess we technically already have. Shout out to all those people. Out. I hope I haven't missed anyone that we know by name. Yeah, I think we got everyone.
I do think, though, there is a shout out from Nick to Troy.
Oh,
so, yeah, that is separate.
You shouted him out, but Nick also, I know, wanted to shout him out. So
that's a good call. I should have mentioned that. I should have factored that in. In that case, I'd like to pose this statement. Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Saint Nicholas of Myra, Sinterklaas. Who is he? Where is he? Why is he?
How is he?
How is he? That's right. No one ever asks how he is. Tonight, I've collected a variety of stories that I promise will make you rethink your opinions on that jolly old Saint Nick and what he's up to. So What if I told you guys that people from all over the English-speaking world, at least, have reported real-life Santa sightings for decades now?
I mean, do you think that's the weirdest thing we've heard? Or like,
I know, in context,
I mean,
it's not that crazy, right?
Like, do you remember the like flying Christmas taco or whatever that was?
No, what are you talking about?
Never mind. That,
link in the description.
Sorry, guys, I think Nick had a long day.
It sounds good though. I didn't really eat dinner, so that would be great.
I was on a ayahuasca trip. Sorry.
With St. Nick. Now, when I say, you know, seeing Santa, I don't mean kids seeing a mall Santa, you know, and you know, oh my God, I see Santa. I mean people, yes, typically children, but not always children, swearing that they see what appears to be Santa Claus in or around their homes, typically Christmas Eve night. And there's a wide range of encounters and a wide range of implications, I think, from these stories that I'd like us to discuss. Now, a good chunk of these are a result of overactive imagination, yes, but I've tried to filter out some of the ones that are actually stupid. And what remains is gold, I'll say. More like silver and gold.
More like bronze. Yeah?
Silver and gold. So listen close.
Silver bells.
Yeah, silver bells. Listen very close to these details. And I will certainly say some stupid ones have certainly slipped in. But let's get started straight into them. Our first story comes from New York City in 2002. It says, it was Christmas Eve of 2002 in New York City. My parents had invited some friends and relatives over for dinner, sort of like a Christmas Eve celebration. After that, I decided to go to my room to watch some TV, but there was nothing good to watch. I then found myself pacing back and forth in the hallway. My house is big, so there was no one with me. Everyone was in the living room watching a movie I wasn't interested in. About 7 minutes into my pacing, I saw a tall, fat figure scurry away about 20 feet away from me. It was crouched down, too. It was even wearing some sort of Santa Claus suit. I didn't believe in Santa Claus at the time, but this just freaked me out. I quickly ran to my parents and told them all about it, and they grinned and joked, oh, maybe it was Santa Claus. But I didn't believe that, so I just sat down with my family and everyone else. Then it occurred again on Christmas Eve 2004, 2 years later. I remember it more vividly than the last one. I was lying on the couch in the living room. My parents were in the kitchen having a conversation about a business blog or something. And suddenly, I saw a huge man about 7 or 8 feet tall crawl underneath the tree and just vanish. Before it disappeared, it looked at me and said, shh. Very strange. So I went into the kitchen and sat with my parents. And this person claims that similar happenings have happened like a few other Christmases after this. Once in 2007, he claimed that in broad daylight, he saw something, but kind of dismissive. And the last thing I want to note about this one is this guy claims that his name is Claxton Kalmbach, which sounds pretty freaking made up. But how do we feel about that to start? What do we think about that?
That was just Bigfoot.
Yeah, is Santa just Bigfoot?
You know, there's some similarities here.
Have you ever seen the two of them in the same room?
I have. Maybe you guys haven't. I don't know.
I have not.
But isn't that bizarre? I don't understand how something could be 7 or 8 feet tall and crawling under a tree.
And then vanish.
But also the shush. Now, this is implied. It's not like it looks like Santa, but is it? You know?
Well,
another thing, too, that's kind of weird is he described the thing as scurrying, yet nobody like downstairs heard like any like loud thumping noises.
Yeah, that's true. You'd think a huge creature would make noise crawling.
Well, yeah.
Santa's a person.
Is Santa a person?
Maybe not this one, but
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Here's a nice quick short one. This comes from 2003. They report. I'm 13 now, so you know you could trust them. But I saw something when I was 7. Even more trustworthy. It was dark, yep. Nighttime around midnight on Christmas Eve. I was in bed, but I wasn't asleep. All of a sudden, I saw a red light beaming down into my window. It was so bright, and somehow I knew it was him. I looked up in the sky, but all I could see was the bright light coming from a small object. I didn't hear a helicopter or anything, but I did hear the unique sound of bells, and of course, the sound of hooves tapping on the roof. These sounds lasted for a few seconds after the light had disappeared, and then they were gone. So, sorry, kid, but I don't know if I was Santa.
So, I've got a theory. This is a crazier theory than the story itself. So, buckle up.
Let's hear it.
So, what if this was actually just aliens, like in a UFO, and they use Christmas as the time to come down and harvest natural resources?
Like water?
Exactly. And they use this as a disguise. Like, oh, yeah, Santa Claus is coming, and you might hear tapping on the roof. No, that's just the aliens stealing your shingles.
That's a natural resource from our planet that they need. Hey, roof, man. Shingles.
Their roofs need repair, too.
Their UFOs. Maybe they use it to repair their UFOs when they crash land.
True. We don't know their intentions, but I think that's a pretty good disguise.
You know,
you can be as loud as you want.
I'm not saying that I believe any of these stories. Let me make that clear. Like, yeah, kids, overactive imagination. Yeah, yeah. So they just hallucinate people? Like the first story, you have such an overactive imagination. Yeah, I just hallucinated an 8-foot-tall person going under the tree.
I guess that's what people mean when they say like kids have an overactive imagination. They just make things up like whole cloth, like just straight up.
I guess. But
do you remember ever doing that? Because I don't remember ever.
No. I remember like a weird thing that happened to me as a kid where like I thought I was dreaming. Or like I was dreaming, but then like I ran to my parents' room because then it turned into a nightmare. But I remember running into my parents' room because that happened, and then I got back to my room and everything was fine. So like dreaming is one thing, but it sounds like these people are always awake. So you can't just be like, I guess, yeah, they could make the whole thing up, but is a kid gonna be that elaborate?
I'll say this. These people believe themselves. Like, these people believe they're telling the truth. Okay.
No, I mean, most of the time they do.
So, I think what's happening is it's a little bit of both. So, there's some truth to it and there's some imagination to it. So, like, with the second story you read, Frank, the red light, that could have been something. That could have been, like, a faraway plane or, like, a cell phone tower, like something that was actually blinking a red light. Kid sees it and they take that and run with it and think, oh, well, I saw this red light and then I went, and then all of a sudden now you start hearing things that aren't actually there. Like, do I think there was something creating a red light? Sure. Do I necessarily believe all the stuff about the roof? It starts to fall off over time.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it is very easy to want to hear and see things when you're primed for that. And obviously Christmas Eve, you're a kid, you're primed to hear and see Santa. So if you give a little thing, maybe that is what's happening. Definitely. But I will say, keep in mind that idea of that red light or that small object emitting light, red light. It comes up oddly in a few, at least one other story, which why does that come up? Very odd. So, moving on, This one, I don't know what to make of this. This person reports, I'm intrigued because once when I was about 5 or 6, I was convinced I saw Santa flying in the sky. I told my mom, which at the time she played up. Later as a teen, I brought it up and she said it must have been an airplane in the sky, but it definitely wasn't a plane. It didn't move in a straight, steady line like a plane, nor did it have the blinky lights like a plane. I think this person is still 5 or 6 when they're typing this. I don't know. I still remember watching it through my bedroom window, watching it in the night sky, weaving up and down. It looked exactly how you would imagine Santa in his sleigh with reindeer flying through the sky. It even went across the moon in a very classic silhouette. You could only see it because of the moonlight. Not close enough to see any detail, colors, or anything. It just looked like a sleigh with a reindeer gliding across the sky. Then they say they woke up at 2 a.m. from excitement, so I'm not sure if this is... They must have gone to sleep and then woken up at 2 a.m. from excitement.
I guess. Unless they were just like, oh, I had this crazy dream, but it was real.
I mean, some people do have extremely vivid dreams. So I wouldn't, as a 5 or 6 year old, not realizing that you have a vivid dream, could think it's real.
That's very fair. Yeah. Then they kind of get a little crazy and they say that, you know, they checked and they saw the stockings were filled and the gifts were there. What that means, nothing. But yeah, very odd. Now, in a lot of these places, these forum posts and such, people will share a story and everyone else will be like, oh my God, finally, I feel comfortable sharing my own experience. So this person goes, I also saw Santa as a child. I woke up Christmas morning around 5 a.m. I walked out to see what presents he brought. I saw a transparent, in color version of him. He was facing the fireplace with his back towards me. I was down the hall. I went a little closer. He slowly turned his head to the side. But I didn't want him to see me, so I ran to my parents' room, excited, and woke them up to tell them, Santa is here. They said, maybe he'll eat the cookies we left him. We'll go back to bed. I was only 6 and thought he was real back then. Then they give a little detail about, I don't know whether this means we should trust them or like dismiss everything they say, but pretty wacky stuff. They say, it wasn't until I was much older that I realized our house was haunted, since I saw other paranormal things over the years.
I see.
When you're a child, you don't quite understand what you're seeing. The only thing that really scared me was when I woke up to use the bathroom and I saw my 3-year-old brother walk right by me and disappear into the hallway mirror. It was a transparent, in-color version of him wearing the PJs he had on that night. I was terrified and ran into my parents' room to wake them up. I told them what I'd seen and they just thought I was having a nightmare. If that's not enough, he says, we did have a Ouija board in the house that we played with. Not sure if that brought spirits in, though. Years later, we found out it was also a burial ground at one point in time.
Okay. Mm. A lot of...
I do feel amazed as an adult that I had these experiences. What do you make of that? There's a lot to unpack there.
A lot of tropes.
Yep. Also, your little brother was just having an out-of-body experience. Let him be.
Honestly, I think that's what it is.
Let him be.
He saw his little brother in his spirit, like dreams.
And my final thing on this one, and then Aaron can say his piece. So you saw Ghost Santa is the implication?
Yeah, what? What is going on?
Aaron?
So...
Aaron, yeah, what's your piece?
I don't know. I think part of it was imagination, and then he kind of backpedaled, and I don't know how much of the story I believe. It seems like he kind of got on the internet and just felt like typing some stuff and just kept backpedaling to make it seem more believable. but went too far in the other direction. Like, oh, by the way, it's an Indian burial ground. And by the way, we have a Ouija board. And by the way, my mom's a medium. Like, probably just backpedaled and a bunch of stuff. And I don't know that I necessarily believe the story. I don't believe that it's impossible that it could have happened. I don't believe he's telling the truth.
You know,
do you think he's crazy?
I think he just wants attention.
Because I will say, I left out the last sentence where he says, I also love this forum for the fact that there are so many others who have had similar spooky experiences. No one thinks you're crazy. So I guess that's wrong.
Yeah,
I didn't say crazy. They were crazy.
Yeah, well, I tell you, this person is very sincere. I think they, I mean, these are all people reporting what they felt and they thought at like 5, 6, 7. And it's many years later. So it's not like they're like, I really think that they believe, I'm not saying what they think they saw is real, but I think they really believe it. They're very sincere. But I understand what you're saying, Aaron. It is like the kitchen sink here, right?
Yeah, I think this particular one seems like it's for clout.
It's for clout. It's the clout. If people think you're crazy if you say this.
No, because he posted on the forum where he's going to get attention.
I don't know the traffic on this forum that Frank used.
Hey, man, we're talking about it. How many years later, Frank?
That's a good question. This was at least a few years. It was like probably 5 years that it was written.
Yeah, so 5 years later, they're still talking about it.
You know,
yeah, he's probably smiling right now, knowing that.
That person, David Hoy.
Don't know about that one.
Yeah, imagine.
But, you know, I will also say, going back to the oath, you know, they really put the kitchen sink in this one. Because when things are really detailed, I think they're more believable. Except when it just fits every single stereotype, then it's not. Like, if it's like all those crazy stories that we've heard, it's like, and there's this weird detail. It's like, why would you make that up of all things? These very typical things that could easily be made up. But like, you know what I mean? When things are actually very detailed, but it's like that. That's a weird thing to make up. If you think that, then they probably didn't make it up.
I like the idea. Yeah, it's like, that's too stupid or too ridiculous. All right, what is this saying? Fact is stranger than fiction?
Yeah.
Right? Did I say that backwards? Yeah. I think that's right. Fact is stranger than fiction. Yeah, as in things that happen in real life are stranger than what people imagine. So therefore, Aaron, you're wrong. And this is true.
He saw Ghost Santa.
He saw Ghost Santa and Ghost little brother.
Isn't Nick saying the opposite of that? Isn't he saying, you know, because they threw the kitchen sink, it probably isn't believable? Like, this has very little detail to it.
Nope. Next story.
All right.
I was 5 years old. I was in my room and I heard shuffling in the living room. I got up and peered around the doorway where I saw a man in a Santa suit standing in front of the Christmas tree. He must have felt my presence because he turned around and looked at me. He didn't look jolly or kind and happy like you would expect Santa to look. He looked kind of eerie, like he was staring into my soul. Automatically, I ran to my parents' room and hid under the covers. I don't know why I was so scared at the time, but I wrote it off as a dream for a while and forgot about it almost completely. Until years later when I remembered it, I thought it could have been a burglar. My parents said nothing was ever stolen or taken from the house at that time, and there's no sign of that. The only explanation now is that it was some kind of apparition. Which is weird, because seeing a man in the suit, I wonder what makes them think it's an apparition. That seems like a very interesting thing to jump to. I mean, I wonder if it was something about how this figure looked that made it look not fully material, right? I would just assume it was like obviously the dad or something. I guess not if she ran to the parents' room. But to think it's an apparition? Very interesting.
Well, I mean, if it was like a dude, but nothing was stolen, why would some random guy just be in your house and not steal anything, you know?
Maybe some like local homeless guy who dresses up as Santa and just wants to spread cheer by,
I guess,
sneaking to people's homes and waking the kids up and going,
staring at them,
staring into their souls.
Yep. So like they might have just thrown out the possibility that it was an actual person because according to their parents, it wasn't a burglar because nothing got stolen that they were aware of.
Yeah, no sign of entry or anything back then.
So they probably just were like, well, it can't be a person because no burglary happened. Why else would a person be in our home?
That's a good point. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So,
but, yeah,
I think they're onto something with this apparition thing. Like, could it have been maybe a relative that had passed on that was taking a form, a nice Santa form?
Did you read the head?
No, I didn't. Frank, I swear to you, I don't even have a home open.
Then go ahead. Please continue.
But like maybe it was a family member that tried to, you know, comfort them or like give them the, you know, like the hopeful, like, oh, look, Santa's here. I don't know why they were eerie. Maybe they didn't have control over that part. You know, being dead's kind of tough.
How would you know?
I'm going to clip that just so you know.
But being dead's kind of tough. Being dead's
kind of tough.
Yeah. So D&D. That's my theory is maybe they did see some. The kids are more prone to seeing things supernatural. So, but the thing is, he or she, I don't know if you described.
They
run and crawl under the covers in their parents' room, presumably seeing both parents there and not, you know, being like, hey, where's dad? Or hey, where's mom? You know?
Yeah, I think it's fair to assume that.
So it adds an element of, So that's why I think it's a ghost.
And again, could have been dreaming, but if they weren't and they were awake, because they did say they ran into their parents' room, why'd they hallucinate a person if it's an overactive imagination?
See, but Nick, you said ran into the parents' room. What happens if you have a weird or bad dream? Run into your parents' room.
Yeah, but you wake up and then you're in bed and you get out of bed and run to the parents' room. Yeah, you're not
already in the hallway and that unless you sleptwalk. And then
you sleepwalk, you dream that you're sleepwalking the same
path.
You dream that you're walking exactly the path that you're sleepwalking. You imagine Santa.
Dreams are very strange, guys. And sleep you wake is also up. Very strange. I've texted people in my sleep.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have.
No way.
Yes. Not like a full-on conversation, but I can respond.
There's not, no way!
I can get some words correct.
No way.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes. It doesn't happen frequently, but I think one time I may have done it with Fallon.
Aren't you the person that slept over at someone's house and your eyes were like super open and you were like staring at them?
No, that was on an airplane. Oh. I somehow slept with my eyes open without knowing it.
That's so weird. That's bizarre. I'm telling
you, sleep is weird. So
that's true.
Could be that they were sleeping, had a dream, but I still. Unlikely. In the spirit of Christmas, like the ghost of Christmas past.
That's very fair. Well, I also want to think about, like, yes, many of these stories about young children. Why is that? Yes, they have active imaginations, but, or is it something like children have less of a filter? Children can see more things than we can.
Or they're targeted.
Right? Or that, or double, right? I mean, yeah, why would Santa try to show up to, or why would the spirit of Santa try to show up to an adult? they're dumb and stupid and they've lost the meaning of Christmas, but children, they're still malleable. But anyway, onto a creepy one, which I don't like the implications here.
Uh-oh.
We go to Memphis, Tennessee, way back first to the 1980s. They say, I grew up in a suburb of Memphis, Tennessee. In the 1980s, I was 8 or 9 years old. My parents and I were coming home from a Christmas party on Christmas Eve. When we pulled up in the driveway, we saw Santa in a sleigh hovering above our house. All we could hear were sleigh bells. The sleigh was illuminated, so we could see Santa in full outfit sitting in the sleigh. I even remember seeing reindeer hovering there, but I don't know how many there were. Santa looked at us and waved and flew off in the sleigh. I'll never forget it, and I'll never forget my dad's face of total shock. He was an air traffic controller, and when he went back to work after the holidays, he asked about it, and nothing came up. And another bizarre twist, on Black Friday in 2009, I was waiting online on a local Target store and broke into conversation with another lady. We were talking about Christmas shopping, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she mentioned that her brother had seen Santa in his sleigh 2 years before. I stood with my mouth wide open because I couldn't believe it. Every Christmas Eve, I still think about him and look outside to try to get a glimpse.
Well, it's a little different when the parents see it, huh?
Yeah, right?
What's the...
Presuming that this story is true. I mean, again...
It's a weird thing to make up.
Yeah, like, why make up? I saw Santa.
But also, it's, this is also insane. I mean, this is freaking insane. Hovering, yeah. Waving, and then another lady in the Target line. Like, it's just... It's bizarre.
So why don't you like the implication?
It feels like kind of UFO-y to me, like hovering above the house.
They're magic reindeer.
Nick's giving me a timeout sign.
Never have we heard a story of a UFO like not looking like a UFO. Very rarely.
Maybe if it's a cover memory.
Maybe, but for a whole family? Don't sometimes at least one person remember seeing something? There was no lights. Didn't say anything. It said it was illuminated.
Yeah, it wasn't glowing or anything. But yeah, I'm assuming like the car had lights somehow or there was a light. Yeah. You know, I don't think it was giving off light.
Also, I don't think, unless you know what you guys are talking about is true, but an alien... or UFO or whatever creatures in the UFO wouldn't just be like waving and then
True. Okay.
So there's this idea that people who experience UFO sightings or even worse, like contact with aliens, sometimes their memory of it is covered up and replaced with a cover memory that is a little off. So like, and this is bizarre. I'm not saying I believe this, but it is that aliens can manipulate your memory a bit. So they will be like, they'll put the memory that you saw a really big, big, big owl in a tree. And you're like, wow, that's a huge freaking owl. It had huge eyes, whatever. But really it's a cover memory for you saw, I don't know, some freaky alien thing in the tree.
Isn't there usually missing time with cover memories?
Yeah, usually there's associated with missing time, which evidently isn't here. Time. Weird behavior isn't here. I mean, these are normal, you know, that's how I would react if I was in the car. I would freak out. And if I was with my dad, he would probably be, I would presume he'd be freaked out. Yeah, actually, he'd be probably pretty chill about it. But, you know, someone would probably freak out. They see Santa hovering. So just the hovering word made me like, I don't know about that. But eerie. Otherwise, very eerie. Indeed.
No, theory. Oh, I've got a theory, Frank.
Theory. Sorry.
Yes. So what if it was aliens and all the kids saw it as Santa, but the dad saw it as aliens didn't want to tell the kids, like, oh my god, no, it was aliens, and thought it would be better to just have them believe, yes, it was Santa.
He saw something obscene. He went to traffic
control and was like, guys, there were aliens, and nobody believed them.
Well,
you know what?
Why would he assume his kids saw something different than he did?
No, he's not assuming that they saw something different. What he's doing is protecting them of not freaking them out with the fact that there's aliens. He's saying, oh, no, it's Santa, guys. Or, you know,
I love how really there's no trace of aliens or UFOs whatsoever in this story. And we're like still, honestly, like, I managed to like shoehorn it into
honestly,
it.
Honestly, this is the most believable Santa sighting that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Honestly, right? I mean, the dad freaking out, talking to air traffic.
Because he's also control. Air traffic control. He must know what, you know, certain aircraft look like.
Yeah, like he'd be like, hey, was there some like weird experimental or like some
but would he thing know what put on by alien aircraft looks like?
I don't think so. That's a good point. It's a good theory. It's a good theory. But we'll move on.
It's actually Santa.
That's fair. I think it's probably most likely like a cow on a ladder on the roof.
Or like all the reindeer are skinwalkers and they have their bone straws.
That's probably very likely. Yeah. Honestly.
I agree.
Well, here's a quick little one. When I was 9 years old, I could not get to sleep on Christmas Eve because I was too excited about presents. I was wondering if my parents had anything to do with the gifts that I'd received from Santa the year before. A little skeptic. We lived in Texas back then, and that night it was hot because the heater was on. So I got thirsty. Got out of bed and cracked open my door to make sure no one was out in the living room so I can get something to drink without being seen. I also wanted a spy, of course. When I opened the door, I saw someone bent over, and then he stood up. It was Santa Claus, dressed in the red and white getup. But strangely, I could see the Christmas lights from the tree shining through him. He was taking the stockings down off the mantle and placing them on the coffee table. When he started to turn around to put the next stocking on the table, I closed the door and jumped into bed. The next morning, I woke up and told my sister what I'd seen. I told her where he had put the stockings. We went into the living room, and the stockings were where I said he put them. We both turned and looked at each other and froze for a moment. From then on, I've told everyone that I believe in Santa.
So he...
Another transparent one.
And interacted with objects.
And it... I know, what? And touching... What? What is going on?
What is going on?
But Ghost Santa can move stockings?
I guess so.
We've seen, you know, poltergeists can pick up objects, throw them places.
I guess so.
There's this, like, Santa headquarters, and he just, like, commands a ghost army to put out all ghost the presents.
Clones. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
So Aragorn is the real Santa.
Yes.
Commanding the ghost army on Pelennor Field.
Nice. Nice reference. When are we watching the third movie, Nick?
Right now.
See, yeah, another ghost one? But that's weird. I don't think ghosts are supposed to be able to move stuff. But
nor look like Santa.
Yeah. This one is creepy. Another user posted. I saw Santa when I was 7 or 8 in the early hours of Christmas morning in our big, rambling Victorian house on Staten Island. I'd gotten up to go to the bathroom, which was at the top of this long, ornate staircase leading to the main living and dining room floor. The house was dark and my parents and siblings were sound asleep. As I emerged from the bathroom, I looked down the stairs, anticipating stuffed stockings on Christmas morning a few hours off. But at the bottom of the stairs was Santa Claus. He looked back up at me and sort of half waved, then gave me 2 quick successive, come on down here, gestures, as if he wanted me to join him. I heard nothing, but saw him quite clearly. I was wide awake, not on any meds, and lucid as hell. I was shocked and excited by what I saw, and after a few long seconds, decided to retreat to my room rather than accept his invitation. It's nearly 50 years later, and I still think about my Santa sighting every Christmas. I know what I saw. It's one of the three or four genuinely inexplicable experiences of my life. Now, this is wild. In later years, I read up on Jung's theories about UFOs, projection, and the collective unconscious, and wondered if mass longing by a whole planet's worth of wishful children could literally conjure Santa Claus into manifesting. Stranger things have happened. And judging from the other posts, Santa has happened to more people than me.
Santa's a culpa?
This is where we start getting to my favorite theory. Or, well, I don't know, favorite theory, but a strong contender for theory for me. If enough people think about Santa around Christmas time, and the concept of Santa and the image of Santa, which we'll discuss in a bit if we have time, like where that even came from. Does that just conjure up apparitions of Santa? Kind of crazy, but is it at the same time? I mean, what else is so in, as that guy said, so strongly in the collective conscious of children who are putting their thoughts and minds into nothing else that entire night? Across the world, or parts of the world. Millions, right? Presumably millions upon millions of people. Maybe that can conjure up manifestations. What are your thoughts on that?
We'll say in this one, sounded like Santa was solid. Motion for a child to come down could have just been a dude. That was not good. Could have been. Not saying it is, but
there's also that.
I'm glad they didn't go down the stairs.
Yeah, maybe it's just a creep.
I also, real quick, when you said Santa was down at the bottom of the stairs, I thought you were going to say then he scrambled up on all fours up the stairs.
Oh my God, imagine.
Could you imagine? You're a kid, you're 7 or 8, you see Santa, he waves, and then like his head like cocks, and then
like spider crawls up the stairs.
Yes, exactly. I'd be horrified.
That is horrifying.
That's what I thought you were going with, but no.
That is creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I like the tulpa idea. I didn't consider that. I like that theory. I don't know if it applies to this one, per se, because it's the thing that gets me is the gesture to come here. That one's a little weird. You know, very supernatural. Not well, I guess tulpas are still supernatural, but like seems like it was something that wanted them to come there. Like a ghost might want them to come so that they can show them something, or you know, maybe a more malevolent being might want it so they could capture the kid.
Well, that's Krampus.
It's just a creep. You think Krampus would dress up as Santa?
As a disguise. Exactly.
That's sneaky. Very sneaky.
Yeah, something doesn't sit right. I like the tulpa idea. Something's off about the story, though. I believe it, just don't know what it is.
I think we can all agree, as Nick said, that the kid made the right choice.
Probably.
Maybe he would have become an elf in Santa's workshop if he went with him. Maybe that's how you get. That's kind of creepy. Maybe that's like
elves are actually stolen children.
Yeah,
and they make the toys for all the other kids.
Yeah, someone's got to turn it into a movie or a book series or something. That's an idea. But yeah, very weird. Very weird. Another somewhat creepy one. This person reports, I have a story too that happened when I was 11. So 11 years old, that's beyond like you know, baby imagination era.
You're in middle school.
Yeah. Around the time I was beginning to doubt Santa was real. Christmas Eve, around 2:30 a.m., I had to pee really, really badly.
I don't believe him.
The only bathroom in our house was downstairs on the first floor. To get to it, I would have to walk through the living room where the tree was. I knew my parents always stayed up late on Christmas Eve in the living room wrapping presents. I didn't want to interrupt them and have them get mad at me, so I waited and held my bladder. Eventually, I couldn't hold it in anymore and had to go. So I crept to the top of the stairs and started going down. I could see that the light in the living room was on, but the whole house was extremely quiet. I silently tiptoed down the stairs and peeked my head out around the corner to look into the living room. Santa Claus was sitting on our recliner, eating one of the cookies we left for him, and looking at our tree. All the lights were on in the room. Now, in case you're wondering, the guy was way too big to be my father. So I had two options. Either pee my pants or run through the living room right in front of Santa to get to the bathroom. It took about 5 minutes of deliberating, but eventually I just ran as quietly as I could through the living room, down the hall, and into the bathroom. I made sure not to look directly at Santa for some reason. I just felt I shouldn't. When I finished in the bathroom, Santa was gone and the house was in darkness. I was lucid, definitely not sleeping or sleepwalking. My parents told me they heard the toilet flush that night, so it wasn't a dream. And that Christmas was pretty tough for my family because my dad lost his job and we were maybe 2 to 3 weeks away from being homeless. Ultimately, everything worked out, but the timing is very thought-provoking.
That's a head-scratcher.
As Jim Harold would say.
Indeed he would. Indeed he would. That one certainly can be a parent sitting, but the fact that it was way too big to be the dad, supposedly, and...
I mean... An 11-year-old should know the size of their parent. Like, they're beyond the age of, like, oh, how old or how tall is your dad? 20 feet tall. Like, they're beyond that age.
Yeah, presumably it doesn't mean just, like, fat. Because obviously, you know, the parent dresses up as Santa for their, in case their kids see him, they're going to, you know, put some stuffing in. But 11 years old, we can presume, you know, it was clearly not the dad. How weird is that, right? So the timing is obviously around. They're starting to doubt. They see what a stereotypical thing. Sitting in your recliner eating a cookie.
Yeah.
It's like creepy, but also like, aw, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Was he reclined though? Like, that's how comfy was Santa?
That's a good question.
Why did they feel like they shouldn't look?
That's also interesting. Do they have like some sense? Like some like, don't look at me. You shouldn't be seeing this.
I think it's just like a kid's mind, the taboo of like, oh my gosh, this is like the guy. I shouldn't look because it would ruin the magic.
That's fair.
Maybe.
That's very fair. But yeah, very creepy. I hate the idea of a stranger sitting in my living room and I have to cross the living room to get to the bathroom. That's like a night that's a nightmare situation. Like,
yeah, but what if it's Santa?
That's still creepy. Get out of my house, Santa.
What if it's me?
No chimney. Nick, how'd you get into my house? I see like a broken window and glass on the floor. Santa.
Nick, I was just about to suggest, what if you and I just go and break into Frank's apartment and just like sit on his couch and eat cookies?
Dude, don't do that.
Hey, what would you do if we were there right now? My webcam's not on, Frank. You don't know where I am.
Open your door. There's a green screen.
You start hearing Aaron from both his mic and my mic. I'm like, what the?
He's just throwing his voice, though. He's really good at it.
He's in my dark closet. I'm not going to do that.
What if you saw red glowing eyes coming from there?
No, not going to do that. Not today.
Oh.
Nope. I'm creeping myself out, and these are the dumbest stories.
Why are you creeped out by Santa?
It's creepy stuff. It's creepy.
You're creeped out by Santa?
I'm creeped out by a stranger sitting in my recliner.
It's not a stranger. It's Santa.
What if you saw Jesus in the recliner?
I'd go over to him and I'd wash his feet with oil and dry them with my hair.
That's a good point. Which wouldn't really help because your hair is already oily.
That's it.
So, Frank.
Santa's giving you cold. The Krampus is going to whip you this
oh,
Christmas.
Oh, God. He's going to, what, like, flagellate?
Flagellate. Yeah. Flagellate, yeah.
So, Frank, you leave out cookies and milk for the guy, and you expect him not to sit down and take a snack? True. Like, what, you expect him to be like, nah.
Well, Aaron, if they're avocado cookies.
Oh, true.
How dare you bring that up? Well, keep that in mind. The idea of we set those things out for him, right? You could think that's a sort of invitation. Right?
Oh,
you know what else we leave little desserts out for? Nick?
For Nick?
No, not you, Nick. But you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Scottish legend?
Scottish legend?
Isn't it Scottish?
Brownies?
Exactly. What if Santa is just a bunch of brownies in a big red suit?
The earliest depictions of Santa describe him as an elf.
That's close.
A jolly elf. That's why he's with a bunch of elves. He's described as a like fun-loving elf.
Wait,
which is kind of close to brownies.
Brownies are a little smaller though, I think.
So I'll briefly touch on the folklore behind Santa. We'll finish up the stories here.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, keep those things in mind. You guys picking up on the things? I'm glad. Okay. It was early Christmas morning between 2 a.m., 4 a.m., either 96 or 97. I was 6 or 7 years old, of course. I always had trouble sleeping the night before Christmas. I couldn't wait till the morning to open my presents. And here in Australia, Christmas is during the summer, so the nights are always quite hot. Anyway, I got out of my bed to peek at the presents under the Christmas tree. My room exited into a hallway, and at the end of the hallway was the kitchen and the dining area / lounge room. As I crept out of the hallway into the dining area, something in the kitchen doorway caught my attention. I backed up behind the hallway entry and observed what appeared to be a pair of legs wearing long red pants. The legs were bolt upright, but the rest of the figure was apparently bent at the hips into the kitchen doorway, so I couldn't see the whole body. Now, at this age, I still believed in Santa, so I ran and woke my older sister, who begrudgingly came to have a look. We both peeked around the hallway entry and saw the same thing that I initially saw. The figure hadn't moved an inch since I first observed it a few minutes earlier. She tiredly suggested that it was just Dad and I should go back to bed. I wasn't convinced. I followed her back to her room as I didn't want to be alone. She didn't believe in Santa anymore and was annoyed at me for hiding under her desk and begging her to come and have another look with me. Finally, I crept back to my room, closed the door, leaving it slightly ajar, and proceeded to pace around my room, not knowing whether to wake up my parents or have another look at the kitchen doorway. My ceiling light was dimmed, so I could see my entire room clearly. There were no shadows. Finally, I decided to leave my room to wake my parents. As I opened my door, standing there, blocking my path, was Santa Claus. He was dressed exactly how I'd imagined him. He looked like the typical Coca-Cola Santa. Down to his white woolen trimmings, thick black belt with a golden buckle and red nightcap. He had small circular gold-rimmed glasses, a white curly beard, blue eyes, and liver spots on his cheeks. I froze and looked up at his eyes. He had what I took to be a stern expression on his face, almost glaring at me. Just after we made eye contact, he bent his head down towards me in a manner that suggested, "What are you doing up? You shouldn't be awake. Go back to bed." I gasped, took a few steps back, and then jumped into bed, turned my back to the door, closed my eyes, and then fell right asleep, despite my state of shock. I clearly remember thinking at the time, Santa doesn't like kids being awake because he can't drop off the presents otherwise. So as if I just knew that I had to go right back to sleep. Of course, the song about Santa comes to mind. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. I didn't get a menacing feeling from him. I didn't feel I was in any danger. I felt that maybe I was in a bit of trouble for seeing him, that he was annoyed at me seeing him. But he didn't seem joyful or loving either. Just neutral, I guess. I think that he somehow knew that I was going to go to my parents, and the only way that he could stop me was to block my exit. In the morning, both my parents said that they didn't see me the night before. They both thought I imagined it. My sister kept telling me it was my dad. Every few years, I'd bring it up with the family, and parents always have denied wearing a Santa suit. My sister still thinks it was our dad. After years of thinking about this event on and off, I still can't explain it. They then proceed to give 10 bullet points saying, I was awake. It was in the middle of the summer, so there wouldn't be no one be wearing heavy clothing. I was, no one sleepwalks, all these sorts of things. The typical, there were no signs of breaking and entering, so on, so on. Eventually, I do not still believe in Santa as I know. He's a completely fabricated character. I think Coca-Cola actually created his modern image. Not true. We'll get into that. Over the years, I thought that maybe what I saw was possibly a spirit or some sort of apparition. They then discussed going to a hypnotherapist and getting a regression done, which doesn't work. So it doesn't help them there. But they point out the weird state of shock that they were in and the fact that they immediately fell to sleep. What do you guys make of that?
Well, first things first, kind of
I'm the realist.
That the parents kept denying it. It would be a very strange thing for them to just lie to their child about. If pressed on the matter at 20 years old or whatever.
Yeah, right, when you're a full-on adult.
Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't keep lying to her unless they're messed up, in which case, I'm sorry, whoever wrote this. But it's a weird thing to add.
Nick, yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, sorry, Frank looked like he was going to say something.
Yeah, okay.
This one, because this time they actually full on right in front of Santa saw them. Santa looked down at them. And all the other ones, even when, it was an apparition. You weren't right next to them. And also, this one wasn't
a clear image. Yeah.
So,
it's so stereotypical, too, right?
Yeah. And it could have been a dream. I don't know how to explain the sister seeing the thing downstairs. But. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think a dream is a good answer.
Yeah, so I mean, they say obviously it was more vivid than any dream they've ever had. They even say that Santa was too, this is weird, Santa was too short and plump to be their dad, but too tall to be their mom, and claim that the figure they saw had a totally different face, eyes, and skin type to the parents.
Okay.
I also didn't hear any footsteps.
Right. Well, actually, in a lot of in movies and stuff, Santa walks very heavy footsteps and you can hear the boots.
That is, if he's not a ghost.
True. Well, he doesn't have to be a ghost. He could just be an entity.
Santa needs to be classified.
Santa's declassified school survival guide.
Yeah. So that's the penultimate story. I'd like to briefly talk about Santa, like the really brief history of it. And
real
then,
quick, you saved the best for last?
Yes, I do have a wacky one at the end.
Perfect.
Or another wacky one, just
the truest one of all.
It just leaves good questions. It leaves good questions for us.
Nice.
To end on. So I'll just end with it. So before we get into theories and what we think, I went into a lot of rabbit holes here recording or researching for this. So I want to really briefly talk about Santa. Obviously, presumably you guys knew that Santa is based on the legendary figure of Saint Nicholas.
Yep.
Yep.
Did you know he was a bishop?
I think at a time, like, I'm not surprised about that information.
Yeah, I feel like I should know this because it's my confirmation saint. But
really,
I did not. Yeah.
Yeah. So Saint Nicholas of Myra, not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. He was born in what is now Turkey. 2000 years ago, right around 270 AD. And I didn't realize actually the idea of the gift giving goes back to supposedly he was famous for being rich. He gave away all his stuff to the poor. And he would go around and secretly give gifts to people in need.
That sounds familiar.
Yep.
Right. And there are famous stories, which evidently and admittedly were written hundreds of years after he died, which is very common with saints. They develop a cult of almost a cult of personality around them hundreds of years after they die. And lots of legends are written about them, which probably aren't historically fully accurate, but are taken, you know, as the factual accounts, to the traditional accounts, I should say, for a time to come. So I didn't realize Saint Nicholas was one of the most popular saints by the time of the Renaissance. He was like the go-to patron saint in Europe. But how do we get Santa Claus? And this kind of wraps into the whole idea of people seeing this very, you know, easy to imagine idea of Santa Claus, right? Because Saint Nick is some ancient old bishop. You can imagine him wearing, like, I don't know, maybe the bishop's hat. Did they have this back then? Who knows? But we have this figure of Father Christmas, which is an English tradition, which is real old.
But Frank, it's pagan.
It is kind of pagan, a little bit. There are pagan influences here 100% in the idea of Santa Claus. But Father Christmas was the personification of Christmas. And it was the British concept of that. And so over time, he merges with the Dutch idea of Sinterklaas, which is based on Saint Nick. It's the Dutch tradition of Saint Nick and the gift giving, whatever. And that kind of forms Santa Claus in the English speaking world. Weird connection one. Does anyone know what Saint Nicholas's feast day is?
December 25th.
Nope.
December 6th.
Today, the date of recording, December 6th. Total coincidence. Found out after I started researching. Or is it? That's true. How weird is that? It's the day we're recording. Anyway, the next weird connection. So many centuries later, right? We have Father Christmas, we have Sinterklaas. That's how we get the word Santa Claus. People can't pronounce Dutch. 1800s, Washington Irving and a bunch of other authors start writing about Santa, and they start to add on all these details that become popular. The red coat, with all of that. But in Washington Irving's book in 1809, The History of New York, he depicts Santa Claus as a thick-bellied Dutch sailor with a pipe and a green winter coat. Now, it turns out he was just making fun of Dutch people in New York. He was just entirely dissing their culture. So his depiction of Santa is kind of a parody of Dutch people. But he was one of the people that started popularizing the idea of Santa Claus in the US. And I found out his depiction of making fun of the Dutch there, it was part of a broader movement to tone down the insane Christmas celebrations that were going on at the time. Now, when I read that, I went, okay, what could possibly be so insane about Christmas celebrations in the early 1800s, right? Well, I find out that these celebrations were, they included, but were not limited to, wassailing. Have you guys heard of wassailing?
I've heard of wassail, which is a type of alcoholic beverage.
It might, maybe it's related. It could very well be related. Aaron, have you heard of wassailing?
No.
This is also known as aggressive home invasions from drunken singers who beg okay. for food and drink.
So Christmas caroling.
It is the precursor to Christmas caroling. This was literally like medieval times. The poor people would go around to the rich people and sing and beg for food and drink. And it was a form of charity where they wouldn't have to, they weren't technically begging. It was like, Christmas, give us food and drink. Ah, you're
That's
rich.
It's like Halloween,
poor.
Too.
Yes, it's very similar trick-or-treating.
With the soul cakes.
So this clicked in my head because think about the lyrics of some of the songs. We want some figgy pudding. We won't go until we get some. So bring some out here. It's those are the traditional wassailing songs where they're literally demanding stuff from the rich people. And oftentimes, if the rich people didn't give the people what they wanted, their house would be vandalized.
Wow.
So this was happening a lot. What else did this include? Quote, substantial premarital sex. Substantial.
Substantial.
And premarital.
Lots
God
of
forbid.
It.
And public displays of sexual deviancy.
No, public.
What in the world were they? How are they celebrating Christmas? This is pretty
British
wild.
British moment.
It's wild. So obviously the Puritans and the upper classes at the time were like, we gotta dampen this down. But yeah, pretty wild. Puts a lot of the Christmas songs and such into perspective. But besides this, one of the most notable depictions of Santa, which really put together our modern understanding of him, is the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas, which is better known by its first line, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, which you heard parodied at the start of this episode. Can you guys guess? I couldn't believe this when I read it. Where was it published first?
Troy, New York.
In the Troy Sentinel.
Yep.
On December 23rd, 1823.
I knew it was coming up on a big anniversary this year.
The 200 year anniversary in Troy, New York. How wild is that?
Do you think there's going to be a huge celebration in downtown Troy?
I'd hope
yes,
so. Maybe I could tell my poem.
Our own SantaCon.
No, they're doing like a whole, like, I forget what it is, but they're like dressing up in like the older style get up. It's a whole thing. I'll look it up. I remember seeing it on the
separate
news.
From the Victorian stroll, because Victorian stroll always happens. No,
it just happened last week, the Victorian stroll.
Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking of, but I don't know if they're doing an additional celebration.
Troy loves doing the Victorian stuff. I bet they are doing something. I hope they do. But how wild is that? It was published in Troy anonymously. Later, there was an author who claimed it was his, but then there were other people that claimed it was theirs, and it's still up for debate. So the author you look up, you get when you look him up, may or may not be the real author.
Guys, it was me.
But there you go. So the reason I wanted to mention that, and that poem, which I'll have in the show notes, that's where we get, you know, cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. Bundle of
he's
toys.
Drunk.
He's dressed in all fur. Clothes were tarnished with ashes and soot. This is where he's described coming down the chimney. He's got a really big fat stomach, and then he has a pipe. All sorts of those things. It all comes from that poem. There was the famous Coca-Cola marketing campaign with the Santa drawing holding Coca-Cola. Lots of people think that Coca-Cola invented Santa Claus because of that, but they didn't.
It was the night before Christmas.
It was that poem and a few other writings in the 1800s that got into the public attention. But that picture from Coca-Cola definitely solidified it in the conscious, you know, the public conscious of people. So I bring this up because Santa as a concept is very modern, and the depiction of him is only, you know, 150 years old. A little longer than that.
200 if you're going by the
roughly 200. That's fair. Yeah, but the modern depiction of like the red coat and all of that and big fat and jolly is even younger than that. So it's curious, why do all of these stories depict that Santa? Why not more traditional versions of Santa? Why not older versions? Right? Because if Santa is real, or like there's a spirit of him that's real, why is it depicted in that only very, very modern, recent clothing and depiction, right?
You want an answer?
Well, to shift into final thoughts and theories, I'll pose that to you. What do you make of that? Because this is, do you find anything weird with that?
Well, Frank, you posited the theory of a tulpa. So with a tulpa, if the beliefs shift, I believe that the form can also shift with the tulpa. You know, they start believing like, all of a sudden Santa Claus is slim and, you know, buff. Okay, maybe people would start believing that buff Santa is going to come give some creatine under your tree.
Very interesting, Aaron. Very interesting.
Thank you, Frank. I was just, you know, jumping off of your theory about the tulpas. I don't know if I believe that per se. I'm more of the idea that it's a ghost, and
I guess it applies for a ghost too, though, right? Like, if determining the depiction of itself, like the way it manifests, probably would go with what's most commonly. Yeah. Do you think? Yeah. I guess it kind of works for both theories, right?
I mean, I would think so, because, you know, some people describe this Santa Claus as a giant behemoth, 8 foot tall guy, and the others are like, they're a little bit taller than my dad.
Yeah, like, or shorter.
So, like, I don't know, maybe people see it slightly different.
Which brings me to my next question. What do we feel about the ones that are weird or creepy or eerie? Do we think it's the same thing? Do we think it's the same phenomena in these stories, given obviously we're pretending that any of this is true, potentially? Do we think it's the same phenomena? What could explain the creepier ones? So like the original one crawling across the floor and doing the shh.
I mean, it could be different things looking the same. That is totally fine. I'd believe it.
Could it be malicious things pretending to be Santa, taking on the form of Santa?
Nothing because bad happened, though.
True.
Like, because also, there already is an evil Santa. Why would something...
There are multiple, true, we have multiple traditions.
Why would something that's evil... If evil Santa already exists, I guess, let me parade around as, you know, what normal Santa is, but there are already evil Santa legends. Why the need to do that?
That's fair. I mean how do we explain the creepy ones?
I don't think it's malicious, because obviously no kids got kidnapped or hurt. And remember, these are also all kids. Like, nothing, no one got taken, even when the girl was face to face with Santa. He didn't do anything. He didn't look jolly. He was just basically, oh, why are you awake? Go to bed. I'm disappointed.
Might be selection bias. Maybe all the ones where something bad happened, those kids didn't survive to tell the tale.
Maybe.
They're now elves.
That is a possibility that I did not think of.
But it's a good point. You really don't see insane negative stories like Santa showed up and he started coughing up blood all over my face and scrawled an upside down cross in my forehead. You don't see that.
It is head spun around.
It is head spun around.
Vomiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, no, and also, like, no one's being possessed by Santa.
True.
Unless that's what this is. Like, these are all actually the ones that aren't transparent. They're real people, but they're being possessed by Santa.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other possibilities here could be that they are neutral things. Maybe they're like djinn. Maybe they're...
Djinn are typically not neutral, no?
Okay. Just imagine it's neutral. Neutral entities that are just taking the shape of like, oh, it's Christmas night. I can stalk around people's homes. Let me
let's
just
have
take
some fun.
Let's trickster have some fun. Spirits. Yeah, exactly. Trickster spirits that just take on the form of Santa Claus. And now they, what form of Santa Claus? Well, whatever's in the modern understanding. However, Coca-Cola Santa, that's how I'll look. That's what everyone thinks. So they think of Santa. That's the shape I'll take.
I think that's the most believable. Like, even if there are creepy ones, they're not doing anything bad. And then even if there are maybe some positive ones, like not positive, but like, you know, the one with the stockings putting it on the table. Nothing was taken. Nothing. No one was hurt. So I think not even trickster. I think literally just neutral. Maybe some of the creepier ones are more on the trickstery side, but I think it's just something out there having some fun.
Or maybe the kids just didn't believe hard enough.
It's like an elf.
What?
Elf, the movie, when they don't believe, so Santa's sleigh can't fly?
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they don't believe hard enough, so, like...
It's a documentary.
Their perception of Santa is this eerie, creepy thing. Like, oh, it's kind of weird that Santa's just breaking into my house.
That's interesting. And,
you know, maybe in your just woken up state, you're a little scared about what you'll see, and that reflects upon what you actually do see.
Very good points. Well, with that, I'll leave us with some good quotes from another poster, which I think is on, who I think is on the right track, and will leave us with some good questions to end on. My 32-year-old daughter is convinced to this day she saw Santa in her house Christmas Eve when she was 7 years old. She said she woke up in the middle of the night and was too excited to sleep. She told me she got up and was walking down the hallway to the living room when she saw him. He put up his finger to his mouth in a quiet gesture. She then went back to her room. She told me she was surprised to see him, that she had the feeling the entire time she was looking at him that she was seeing something she should not be seeing. Maybe we ought to wonder exactly what we're inadvertently inviting into our homes with this Santa Claus tale. The black-eyed kids show up at your door and ask and require permission to enter. But with Santa Claus, we've already given him permission to enter. As far as inviting Santa Claus, we even leave out cookies and milk for him. If that alone isn't an invitation for something to show up in the middle of the night yet, I don't know what is. That's all for tonight's show. Remember to leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you tune in, if you enjoyed. Submit feedback at wednesday@9pm.com/21. You'll also find the episode's write-up and references and everything there. Tell your friends to tune in while you're at it, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9pm. And remember, Christmas Eve night, it's probably best to stay in bed and not heed the beckoning calls of anything dressed up as Santa Claus. Good night.